We looked at last week where the Apostle Paul had just opened his heart up and said how much he loved those folks and how important they were to him, and that he gave them a charge to stand fast, right? Don't move. Stick with it. All the things we've talked about, okay? Be faithful. Push to the end. Cross the finish line. And along with that, he reminded us that we need to be of the same mind, that be in unity together, right? Right? We've talked about this over and over through this book. Not only is it the theme of joy, but it's the theme of the mind, how we think. And it's clear that it says, have the mind of Christ. Amen? That we ought to have the same goals. And we're going to continue on that. Can't get away from it when the Apostle Paul uses some of the words he's about to use. But he reminded us of Eutychus and Syntyche last week, who were not getting along. There were two ladies in the church, and he said, would you please remind them to be of the same mind? And we talked about it, their names meaning one traveling well, and the other one meant an accident. Okay, so you're just out on a Sunday drive, and all of a sudden, bam! Now there's a problem. And he said, listen, did you encourage these two ladies, please, that they would be of the same mind together. And that's, I set the context because let's read verse 3 together. We're only going to go as far as verse 3 because we're going to cover a little bit that's there. And then there's a subject that we have to cover before we get past this. So chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 3, says this. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to serve, to labor, to strive, to put effort together, like your word says here, the gospel. Father, there are so many things in this life that keep us busy, where we're chasing our tails, where our schedules are booked up solid, and day after day after day, it seems like we burn hours toward things that really are not that important. And the Apostle Paul reminds us, he gives us an encouragement here about helping one another, especially when it comes to those who are striving for the gospel's sake. And so, Father, I just pray you'd help us to take encouragement from this morning. But Lord, also, we're going to take a minute to look into your word about the truth of the book of life, often called the Lamb's book of life. Father, it's often it's something that is used in Christianity, it's used in other religious groups, but many times it's not referred to the way your Bible makes it clear. So we're going to look at verses today to define it. Not from a dictionary, not from a theological handbook, but right from your word this morning. So, Father, I just pray you guide us as we walk through your book. Lord, Holy Spirit, teach us and settle in our hearts the truth about what you'd have us to know this morning. Lord, be with my mind, be with this body. Lord, that you would keep it strengthened and ready to share what needs to be shared. So, Father, we thank you so much for everything. And, Lord, again, we fall into this habit of when we get close to Thanksgiving, we want to be thankful. Lord, if there's anybody you ought to be thankful every single day, it's your folks, your people, Christians, people who have had their sins forgiven, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, not only have a guaranteed future in heaven, but Father, have an amazing relationship with the God of this universe. And so, Father, we're just thankful. Bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul makes a request. He says, on top of the things I've shared with you guys, I love you so much. You're beloved. You're longed for. I yearn for you. He says, man, stick with the stuff. And listen, if you guys are having some issues together, work them out. Be of the same mind. I heard a story the other day about a church split. Okay, a church split because they were having a dinner downstairs. And one of the old faithful fellers that had been there for a long time, he's upwards in his years, got served some ham. And a couple minutes later, a little boy who was in his early adolescent age showed up on the other side of the table, and he also was served some ham. and his piece of ham was bigger than the piece of ham that the older gentleman had. And that's all it took. Before you knew it, the people got their nose bent out of joint. And you know, it's easy to get your nose bent out of joint about stuff that doesn't matter, right? I've talked about churches that have split because somebody painted the bathroom a color they didn't like, or they put in a carpet because the color was the wrong. Boy, what are we doing, you know, in Christian circles today? The Apostle Paul sets a tone here, and I want us to see what this is. Number one, he says, listen, these two ladies that are having a struggle, be of the same mind. Would you please focus on what's important? We got to major on what the majors are, right? We got to major what the... Do you know what that means? That means these little things that don't matter. You know, okay, you keep your heat at 72, somebody else keeps their heat at 67, somebody else keeps their heat at 78. Lord love you, I would die. It's like a sauna. It's cold in here, it's hot in here. Let's worry about things that are important, right? If you're cold, wear a sweater. If you're hot, bring a fan. Okay? So say, no shorts and tank tops, please. We got to remember what's the important thing. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He says, guys, be of one mind. And then he picks up in this verse and he says, his request of them is help those people who are laboring. Okay, so I just want to look at a couple of things real quick, a little few pointers, and then we're going to break this down about the Lamb's Book of Life. He says, help those women, number one, which labor. That word labor, again, means to wrestle, to strive. You know, we're putting 100% effort into it. They're also striving with him, notice. It also makes a very good, clear quality here. They're striving with him in the gospel. Do you know? I know you know from here, but think about some of the churches that are around us as well. You know how much effort and striving and things that go on by churches with the name of Christian tagged to it, which have absolutely nothing to do with the gospel? I mean, we have things like called like the Salvation Army. What's salvation now? You with me? I mean, we have a lot of different places, Red Cross and, you know, Yale, Harvard, all these places started out as Christian organizations with their goal to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And most of them aren't spending any kind of effort in the gospel. How many times do we drive up and down the streets and see a bean supper or potluck or... And it's fantastic that the churches are doing those things to minister to people's needs, but the focus needs to be the gospel. What is the gospel? 2 Corinthians says it. I mean, 1 Corinthians 15. You don't have to go there now, but Paul says it very clearly. He said that Jesus Christ died according to the Scripture. He was buried according to the Scripture. He rose again according to the Scripture. That's the gospel. Okay? Listen. I understand, but the gospel is not feeding the hungry. The gospel is not clothing the cold or providing a place for the, you know, homeless to sleep. Those are all great things we can use, but our focus is introducing people to the one who can forgive them of their sins. That is the gospel. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, be of the same mind. Ladies, get those things out of the way, and he says here, help those people who are wrestling, striving, who are putting their whole heart into the gospel. There are so many things that we can be distracted by. And I mean that we. I'm not just saying, you know, you. Me too. I mean, it's refreshing now and then for me to swing hammer, to get up out of a chair and actually do some physical labor, get my saws cranking again. But you know what? I'm not here to run a saw. I'm here to share my life and the gospel through it. What are you and I doing? The Apostle Paul says, listen, I want you guys to help those ladies, help Clement, who he names out. We don't know much about her. All we know is the Apostle Paul brags on her because she's struggling and striving with the gospel. This lady, he says, again, what an awesome resume booster. The Apostle Paul named her, and 2,000 years later, we got this lady Clement listed in his word of a woman. The Apostle Paul says, man, she's pulling her weight when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Boy, what a nice testimony that would have been for you and me, right? That 2,000 years from now, if we're still around, I certainly hope not, I don't think so. But somebody can say, you know that Helen Pleisch, you know, help ladies like that because they're really working hard for the gospel of Christ. Like your hat, by the way. See, the Apostle Paul says, for the gospel with Clement. Did you notice a few things here I want to point out in this verse? It says, yoke fellow, labor with me, fellow laborers. I think we get the idea here what the Apostle Paul's trying to say, right? He says, you ladies have the same mind and help those that are working toward the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometime, especially in our culture today, we're so much in the information age that we think as long as we are filling our mind with truth about God's word, that that's sufficient. Now, you guys know, we spend a lot of effort here at our church making sure that we're preaching the word of God in all its truth. And we're not hesitating one bit. We don't want to sugarcoat it or anything. We want to lay it out there. Dan ended up Sunday school with that. You lay out the truth and let God deal with it. Okay, that's our job. We don't have to go ahead and mess around with it. And don't matter who you are. You may think, well, I'm just a little old person who only got saved years, and I'm just not the... You share the God's word and let him deal with what he deals with. Amen? We are careful to make sure that we do that. But folks, it is not just good enough to make sure we fill our minds with God's truth. We need to be working, laboring, striving to make sure that we're sharing the gospel. And again, that is not just a job for Pastor Dan or Pastor Craig or Deacon Jake. That is a job for every single believer. And man, I love it, the fact that the Apostle Paul names this lady Clement. Says, would you help her? As a matter of fact, I like the fact that he says, help her, true yoke fellow, this woman Clement. He doesn't even name who the true yoke fellow is. Whoever the Apostle Paul's given this advice to directly, he doesn't list their name, but he lists her name because she's striving for the gospel. Now again, who is this true yoke fellow? It might be Epaphras. It may be someone else. The Apostle Paul saying, listen, if you're on my team with me, a yoke fellow, come on. You guys know what a yoke is, right? Okay, it's not the yellow thing when you crack open the egg. Okay, that is a yoke, but that's not what we're talking about. Okay, we're talking about a harness that's designed to help animals pull equally a load. Okay, that is a yoke. Okay, he's saying, those of you who want to step up with me, and labor in the gospel, a yoke fellow, someone who's going to step up and pull the same kind of load as I. Yeah, that's the awesome part. You and I got work to do, but if we yoke up with the Lord Jesus and he's our partner, he says it's easy. Not hard, but you got to be willing to put some effort into it. Okay, what have we been saying, guys? There is no couch potatoes. There's no spectators when it comes to being in our faith and working for the Lord. We don't sit back and just watch. Step up, grab a part of the load. My wife and I were cleaning out the chicken coop. A great sermon example here today. This is awesome, cleaning out the chicken coop. I can't help but think of it. We scooped the stuff into this little tarp, and I was going to drag the tarp from one side of the yard to the other side of the yard. And I shoveled it on there and grabbed that tarp and went, and did not move. And I tried it one or two things. And, I'm not a little fellow. And I just finally said to my wife, can you come grab a corner of this? Because I can't do it by myself. And I'm pulling it with her thinking, What an amazing sermon illustration this is. I couldn't move it by myself, but when she grabbed a corner and we both muscled it together, we were able to get it to the other side of the yard. And then, brilliant me, next time I just loaded it half as full, so it wouldn't be so heavy. But the two of us together putting our efforts into it, it made it halfway easy. But when I was trying to do it myself, okay, this is what we're talking about. Paul says, listen, true yoke fellow, if you're going to step up and take some of this load, help those, if you're going to take the load, share the load with those who are laboring in the gospel. Now, I love helping people. I don't know about you. Hopes you do. It's a great, great way to illustrate God's love. But there are times, you know, we pulled over the other day and some guy's car was broke down right in the middle of the road. Okay, right there at where the Colony Mill is and CVS is. And then he was just sitting in the middle of one of the lanes with his flashers on at the light. So we jumped out and pushed his car out of the way. You know, just, you know, don't want the guy having a car wreck. Sometimes it's nice to help people. But you know what? We need to be sharing the gospel. So you give the guy a ride around the corner and say, hi, I'm Craig Fisher. I go to Bethel Bible Church. The Lord loves you. So what I did was even worse. Okay, so I gave him a ride down to the... I got to tell you this because my wife is smiling. So I give him a ride. Of course, this is a stranger. I've never seen this kid before in my life. He jumps in the seat with me, and I'm giving him a ride down the street. And we get to where we're going, and he goes to open the door. Well, my car, once it's in gear, the door is automatically locked. So he tries to open the door, and it won't open. And he looks at me, and I went, so they just clicked it open, and he laughed, which I'm glad he laughed, because he could have probably freaked out, you know. But so, you know, here's this crazy guy's not letting me out of the car. But, you know, it was a good time. But, you know, helping people is great. Doing community service things are great. But you understand something, that when the Lord Jesus Christ fed the hungry, when he healed the sick, it was all so he could demonstrate the faith. How many times did he say, thy faith has made thee? Thy faith is, every focus, every part was about him sharing the gospel. That's what we need to keep our focus on. Now, you ready? So that is the point. Take that. That's where we're going to go. Help one another. Labor with one another who are sharing the gospel. But I want to look at the book of life and take a few moments to describe this to us biblically. Because we've had, we talk about this often in church, the Lamb's book of life. And so got a couple questions in considering it. Who's written in it? How do you get written in it? Can you be removed from it? What's the focus of having your name written in the book of life? Who's in charge of the book of life? I mean, we talk about the book of life, right? The Lamb's book of life, and we talk about having our name written there. I think it's important we know the details, because there are some churches that teach different truth about this. And we want to make sure that we are right on what the scripture says. So you ready with me? We're going to be flipping through the scripture. So warm your fingers up. Crack those knuckles. Okay? Go to Exodus. We're going to walk through the Word of God and look at this book that God describes for us. So Exodus chapter 32, please. Exodus chapter 32. Now Moses, and we've been studying the book of Exodus together, so, but I figured out we're only at chapter 11 with Anna at Sunday school, so 32, I'm safe for a little while. We're not stealing a lot of thunder yet. What's amazing to me is before we have the whole written word of God, Moses knows about this book. Now, there's some amazing things that Moses got a chance to do. You understand that Moses went on up on the mountain for 40 days and spent time with God. I can't tell you all the stuff they must have covered together. Yeah, he came down with 10 commandments, but I can't imagine for 40 days it was 10 commandments they went over and that was it. Okay, there was a lot more than that that went on. I don't know what it was, but I'll tell you one thing. Here Moses knows something important here. You with me? Chapter 32, verse 32. Moses shares his heart for his people, but look at this here. Yet know, if thou wilt forgive their sins, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Look at verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. So, first thing we see is in this context, Moses is the one who brings up the book. So Moses already knew about this book. When they talked about it, we don't know. But Moses already has a clear idea that God has a book, and there are names written in this book. His name in particular. And I like this. The Apostle Paul does the same thing. Remember, the Apostle Paul says, listen, I would like myself to be accursed from Christ if my people Israel could be saved. Well, Moses is sort of saying the same thing here. Lord, if you're not going to forgive their sins, then just blot me out of the book too. Okay, now a couple of truths here that we want to look at. What is the focus of this book? Okay, in this context, Moses said, there's a book, and he brings up one thing that hinges on whether or not what's about this book. Do you see it? It's in both verses. It says, if thou wilt not forgive their sins, and then verse 33, whosoever hath sinned against me, I will blot out of the book. So the focus to the book of life is sin. You with me so far? Either the forgiveness of sin or not having your sins forgiven is where the book of life hinges around. With me so far? Okay, I want this to be important. Why I say this, I was doing some research on it, and I had listened to Jehovah's Witnesses on this, some Mormon things on this, and some others. Amazingly enough, some people will read this verse and say, do you see, you must keep the commandments of God for your name to be in the book. Did you see that?
No.
Well, you must be obedient in your service to the Lord. Do you see that? There's one thing that we see in this introductory verse about this book, and that is sins being forgiven is the key. Now, you and I as believers understand, and we're going to go a little bit further into this, but nothing we do forgives us of our sins. There is only one thing that forgives us of our sins. Sunday school crowd, what is it? The blood that was shed. Okay? The Lamb, okay, the true one, Jesus Christ, where John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Okay, and amazingly enough, this is called the Lamb's Book of Life, importantly enough. So I want to, the truth we can take from this, for sure, is what the focus of this book is whether or not your sins are forgiven, right?
Yeah.
Is that pretty clear? I want to make sure we want to look at what God's Word says. You can go read commentaries later on, but the best thing for Bible study is compare spiritual with spiritual. The first thing we know is that this is a book about sins being forgiven. Jesus said, if they have sinned against me, I will blot their name out. Now, that should send up a question. How many of us have sinned against God? Every single one of us. If your hand's not raised up, we'll go have a counseling session later on, okay? We have all sinned, okay? So, if we just take verse 33, any who sinned against God, okay, will be blotted out. But verse 32 says, Moses says, if you will not forgive them, so we know where the cure for the sin is, right? We all sinned against God, but God can forgive us of our sins. All right, so there we go. You with me so far? It's not by obedience, it's not by works, it is about forgiveness. You do see that you can be blotted out of the book, right? Moses says, blot me out, Lord. And the Lord says, listen, if you've sinned against me, I will blot you out. So that means people who have their name in it can have their name removed from it. Yes? No. Don't ah me. Just read, what does the verse say? The verse says people can be blotted out. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. We're trying to stick with the Word of God. Okay. So, and then who is the one who does the blotting? Okay, so Moses said, listen, blot me out. And then verse 33, God said, Whosoever hath sinned against me, I will blot out. God's the one in charge of blotting this, nobody else. Okay? Moses didn't say, Lord, if this doesn't work out, I'd like to blot myself out of the book. He didn't say, Lord, if they have sinned and they're not forgiven, they're going to blot me out because, no, God is the only one who is able to blot anybody out of this book. So, you with me so far? We're looking at straight truth right from God's word. Look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. I'll let you get there because it's very important that we see this right in the scriptures. I want us to be clear. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Keep going. If you reach Ezekiel, you're almost there. Okay, if you go Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, you're too far. Back up a little bit. Okay, Daniel chapter 12. When we want to do a scripture, comparing scripture with scripture sermon this morning, I want you to get all eyes on scripture, right? All right, verse chapter 12, verse 1. And at the time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. So again, Wednesday night crew, when we're studying the book of Revelation, we know what we're talking about. This is the tribulation. Okay, this is Daniel's prophecy about the end times. All right, so we're just setting the stage. We're talking about Michael, the archangel. Okay, look at the end of the verse. At that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Okay, so we get some truth. When things get close to the end and God's going to wrap this sucker up, we see a few things close here. Number one, God's people will be delivered. God will be delivering his people. Yes, you with me so far? Okay, everybody nod, give me a grunt, something, thumbs up. All right, you know, everybody, we didn't even eat any tryptophan yet. That's next week. Okay, no excuses to be sleepy here. No turkey stomach. Okay, it says God will deliver his people. Number two, those who will be delivered are people who are found in the book of life or in this book. Okay, now if you're going to find somebody's name there, does that mean you're writing it down? Come on, let me think. If I'm looking in a book for something, am I writing it down or is it already there? All right, so it is something that is already found in this book. That's why this is important. We'll be back to Philippians in a couple of minutes again, where the Word of God says those people whose names are found there. All right? So God's deliverance is promised to those whose names are found in this book. Moses says, listen, Lord, blot me out of this book. And God says, listen, for those who are sinning against me, I will blot them out of this book. Okay, their names are found there. Yes? Okay, back to Psalms. A couple books back. Psalm chapter 69. Psalm 69, verse 28. Psalm 69:28 says this, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Ahaha. So we get more truth. Okay, so this book of life, here it's called the book of the living. Now again, there are several other books mentioned in the scripture. We'll talk about it when we get to Revelation where the Bible says, and he opened the books, plural. There is a book in the Old Testament. Yeah, I didn't write it down. They're called the Book of Remembrance. And again, those are things written that people have done. That is not this book. This book is not the works of our lives and the story of our lives. This is a book with names written in it. Okay, so what is the truth we see here? Number one, people will be blotted out, right? You see that with me again? Okay, verse 28, let them be blotted out of the book of the living. So again, some people's names will be blotted out. But it describes the names that are not blotted out, right? Because there are names written there, and what does it say? Those names are names of the what?
Righteous.
Very good. Now, according to God's word, there are none righteous, no, not one. Correct? All right. Well, it is until we take this into consideration. So, we've all sinned against God, and anybody who sinned against God is blotted out of the book. And those who are not righteous are also blotted out of the book. All right, close up the doors of church. We don't need to come here anymore. Right? Because none of us are written in the name in the book of life. Okay, we're getting there. But this is why God is building this clearly. Just a couple of verses as we're looking at this. Now, this let me give you a clue here. So only those who are righteous are written in this book. 2 Corinthians, flip with me. 2 Corinthians, didn't say it yet. Chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So there will be people who are blotted out, because their names will not be recorded with those people who are righteous. There is none righteous, no, not one. So whose name is in this book? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We know the verse, but listen carefully. For he hath made him, that is Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God has made Jesus Christ to be sin for us. Jesus knew no sin, so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay, Joyce is whispering grace at me. So again, who are the righteous? Those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, correct? Okay, go with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Romans chapter 5. So God, we are made righteous because Jesus Christ took our sins. He knew no sin, but he was made sin for us. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Adam sinned, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But by one man's obedience, Christ, you and I are able to be made righteous. So whose names are written in the book? The righteous. They're not blotted out. And you get righteous by having your sins forgiven. And what was the main theme of the book of life? Whether your sins were forgiven or not. Right? That's where Moses started out. Lord, if you're not going to forgive their sins, blot my name out. And God says, listen, those who have sinned against me will be blotted out. It's the fact of the book of life is sin. Okay? The righteous are recorded in there because their sins have been forgiven by Christ. Okay, you stick with me. One more, Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. We've already read this verse several weeks back. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but, what kind of righteousness? But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So you and I, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when we ask him to be our Savior, We are forgiven of our sins and we are made righteous. So those who are blotted out of the book are not going to be recorded there with the righteous. You with me so far? Okay, we're right, straight Bible here. Okay, try not to add a whole lot of extra commentary. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, this is where we are. Just as a remembrance, this is the other verse that it's mentioned in. And Paul says, with the other my fellow laborers whose name are in the book of life. So the Apostle Paul is calling on this to this church and says, there are names of fellow Christians who are in the book of life. We've seen the definition so far. Sin is the issue on whether or not you are blotted out of this book or not. The righteous who are forgiven of their sins by God, who is the one who can forgive sins, those are the ones whose names are not blotted out of the book. All right, with me so far? So I still didn't answer this question of how do you get your name written in the book? Because now, I want this to be clear because this can get twisted really, really awful by some of the religious groups, and you would consider it a loss of salvation because your name is blotted out. Okay, wait. So if you were in and now you're being blotted out, that means you could lose your salvation, right? Okay, we're not talking about that. Okay, we are talking about removal because of sin. So not once have we yet described when the names are written, have we? We just talk about they are there. You can remove the names, but the names are already there. You getting this idea with me so far? Okay. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. We're going to spend the rest of our time in Revelation. That is the book that covers this book of life mostly. I hope when we leave today, my goal is that nobody's going to leave here going, I don't understand the book of life. I want it to be, if somebody asks you the question about this, you're going to know the answer because we just read it in the book. Now, does that mean we understand everything God had in his word? No. I'll tell you what, I'll never get it, but I'll tell you what the word of God said about it. Okay. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Wednesday night crew, we've already passed this verse, but we're about to be at this verse. So this will be in our notes in 2 weeks. All right, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment. I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Okay, so the book of life, he said, those who are in white raiment, I'm not going to blot them out of the... Okay, now, for those of you who study Revelation with me already, what does it mean to have a white garment on, white raiment? Go to chapter 19 while we're here. I want to just clear this up. Okay, before we get there, chapter 19, verse 8 says this. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Now listen. For the linen that is, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The white raiment is a picture of the righteousness of the saints. You with me? 19 verse 8. So when it says they were clothed in white linen, that white linen is the picture of the righteousness of the saints. Now who's written in the book? Those who are righteous, right? He says, those who are overcomers and are clothed in white linen, I will not blot out of the book. Because they are righteous. How do you get righteous? He became sin for us, who knew no sins, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I don't stand in my own righteousness, that I stand in the righteousness that is by faith. Okay, when God looks at you and I, he does not see a sinner anymore. He says he sees someone who has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We talked this morning about, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So those folks who are in the book of life are the righteous. They will not be blotted out. But there are people that will be blotted out, right? You with me so far? So who are those people? If they're not righteous, and we get righteousness by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, then the people who are blotted out of the book are those who have not received Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. You with me so far? Right back with Moses, God says, those who have sinned against me will be blotted out. God furthers it to tell us that there will be righteous written in the book. They will not be blotted out. And we get righteous by forgiveness of sins, which comes through Christ. Okay. Not only will we not be blotted out, but he says he's going to go ahead and agree with the Father and the angels that those people who are made righteous belong there in that name, in that book. That word there, verse 5, and it says, and I will confess to my Father. That word confess means to agree with or come to the same conclusion. You know, when you confess your sins to God, you're not listing them all. You know, God doesn't want to hear all the dirty details. He knows all the dirty details. Confessing your sin means you agree with God. Oops, that broke your law, God. I was wrong. That's confession. Not, all right, I got to list every dirty detail. That's not confession. That's something we've made up. Confessing means you agree with God. Thou shalt not lie. I lied. I agree. I've confessed. That's what we're talking about. Well, he says, I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to blot you out. If you're standing here in white robes, that means you've been forgiven of your sins. And I'm going to go to God and the angels and say, here's another one, Lord. His sins are forgiven. He does not need to be blotted out of the book. You see this amazing picture that God's doing? Okay. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. We're going to develop this a little further. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. And if you go back to the hymn, that is talking about this beast. Okay? The beast, Antichrist in the end times, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Excuse me. I'm just reading, make sure I'm not jumping ahead of myself in the notes. All right, so it says, those who are not named in the book of life shall worship. Now, I want you to notice, remember in Sunday school, guys, we said, and we mentioned today again, that he was Savior before he was Creator? Notice what it says here. The names written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You know, we talked about the Passover lamb this morning in Sunday school. That's not the first lamb to be slain. As a matter of fact, before there was a four-legged, curly-haired, woolly thing called a lamb, there was a lamb slain. Before the first molecule was spoken to existence in this universe, there was a lamb slain. His name was Jesus Christ. Now, this is where I tell you, I can't wrap my brain around that. Before there was a Roman soldier to nail him to the cross, before there was a Pilate to condemn him to the cross, he was already slain. Because God knew the picture. Because God understood before he even created the first one of us what he would have to do to buy our salvation. But he says, those who are not written in the Lamb's book of life. Again, we're talking about names not found there. Notice it says, all that dwell upon the earth are checked against the book. Did you see that with me? Verse 8, again. And it said, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship. And then it says, whose names are not found. That means all that dwell on the earth are checked against the book, right? Here they all are, and here's the book. Some of them aren't found in the book. Okay, we're just getting some more truth about this. Go to chapter 17, verse 8. Chapter 17, verse 8. And the beast, or the beast, that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And then when they beheld the beast that was and was not and yet is, those who wonder about the beast in the Revelation period, and listen, I'm not preaching Revelation, come on Wednesday night, we'll get there. Okay? But what it's saying is those whose names are not in the book are going to be wowed by the beast. They're going to be tricked by him. They're going to be convinced by him. They are not the righteous, right? We've already seen that. Those who are in the book are the righteous. Those who are not in the book are those who have not had their sins forgiven. Those who have not had their sins forgiven and are not in the right relationship with God are going to be wowed by this beast. But there's a verse here that I just want to hit hard. When were these names written in the book? Before the foundation of the world. And there's the key I wanted us to come about. Okay? There's the answer to our question. These names were written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. When was Jesus Christ crucified? When was he slain? Before the foundation of the world. We just read that, right? See, God understood exactly what was going to happen in this world, and he knew everybody from Adam and Eve to the last person who will ever live who's going to live on this planet. And every single person who has been born as a human being on this planet is written in this book. Now notice, it doesn't say ever that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name is written in the book. He doesn't go, oh, another one asked Jesus to be a Savior. I'm going to just write his name down. The names are already there. Every single person who's ever lived. Now, take that into consideration, please, with the verse in 2 Peter that says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? So, God's will is that every single person, all, come to repentance. So he has started out our ledger, his book, with a name written in it. Your name and my name. But we've already seen very carefully spelled out by God's word that your name can be blotted out. Now that does not mean you lost salvation. You didn't have it in the first place. But you are alive, and God gives every person the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is when we talk about little kids, about the age of accountability. I know this is a whole other preaching sermon we can do, but the age of accountability, to become a believer, you must realize you are a sinner. I can pick up that little three-day-old baby and say, you need to confess your sins and go to heaven. That kid don't get it. Okay, and the only thing that keeps you and I out of heaven is whether or not we've made a decision for Christ. Can a three-week-old baby make a decision for Christ? Now listen, because their name is still written in the book of life. The only time a name is blotted out of the book of life is when you are not one of the righteous. The way you get righteous is by what? Faith in Christ. Every single living person who has ever walked and will ever walk this planet, their name is in the book of life. During our walk on this planet, God wants every single person to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, to have their sins forgiven. That is his design. He's not willing that any of them should perish, but he wants every single one to come to repentance. If a person does not, then their names are blotted out of the book of life. You with me so far? The only declaration we have from God in his word when these names were written is right at the beginning of time. And God looked. Now, some people will say, see, that's like Calvinism, where God's selecting who got saved and who didn't. No, it doesn't say that. You got Thanksgiving coming, right? How many people have people come over to your house? How many people you got coming over, you know? I mean, is it one of those things where, just come on over, but you know, whatever. We have 7 right now. You know why I know we have 7? So I can make enough food for 7. I bought a 26-pound turkey. I hope it's enough. Okay? I got 7 people coming. I know. I've written their names down. Kim's mom and dad are brother, Lydia, Greg, Micah, me. I might count for 2.
I'm working.
You're not invited. Okay. I've got 7 people coming. Now, does that mean all 7 of those people are going to be there? Now, I got a list. I got it written down who I want, who's coming. Does that mean every one of them are going to choose to be there? What if my brother-in-law all of a sudden decides, you know what, I don't have the money to come down and I'm busy and I'm not going to make it? Just because I wrote a list of who's there, not every one of them is going to make it. Yeah, leftovers. You understand what's going on with the Book of Life? God says, I've written every single name there. If you've walked this earth, if you've come into existence in God's plan, he's written your name down. You have the choice on whether or not you're going to be there or not. Okay? Yep. Well, we do get a new name, but it's not this. Okay? But again, guys, things to keep in remembrance, songs are not scripture. Songs are songs. Okay? That is not the word of God. That is just something we sing about. Okay? You know, there's a lot of things we sing. Doesn't mean it's truth. All right? But that's different. We'll talk about that. We will get a new name, the Bible says. But our name is written in the Book of Life. And God says you can be blotted out. Now, you with me? Everybody with me? I want this to be under. I don't want people going, it's worse now than when I came in there first. Okay? Revelation 20. We're almost done, almost out of time, but I don't want to leave this hanging. Okay, Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 through 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. There's those other books. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. So the books are according to their works, but the book of life, okay, is something different. And the sea gave up the dead that were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And everyone was judged according to their works, right? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the fire. Okay. Your eternal destination to hell and the lake of fire is determined on whether or not your name is written in the book of life. Period. Now, this is called the great white throne judgment. Remember, there's 2 different ones. We have the judgment seat of Christ, which is where believers are judged, and you have the great white throne judgment in which those who are not believers are judged. This is a description of those who have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Their names are not found in that book, and they will spend an eternity in hell. In the lake of fire forever. Are you with me? We're being clear as we can be. When you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and your sins are forgiven, like Moses talked about, and the Lord said, you know, you sin against me. When you are made righteous by Jesus Christ the righteous, your name remains in the book of life. But if you reject Christ, your name is blotted out of the book, and you will spend an eternity in hell. Look, if you would, to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Last verse of this chapter. We're talking about that heavenly home that you and I are looking for, right? There shall in no wise enter in anything that is defiled, neither whosoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, those who will be entering heaven and that city, and then we talk about the city built four square and all the streets of gold and everything, the only people allowed in there are those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, last verse, chapter 22, verse 19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, meaning Revelation, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. You notice, when your name is out of the book, you are out of the holy city. You get it? That's the point we're making. If your name is written in the book of life, you are on your way to heaven. If you have not put your faith in trusting Jesus Christ, your name is blotted out of the book. All right? Now, just so we understand, we're not talking about any kind of loss of salvation with this. Go back to what the main theme was from Paul. Paul says, you know what? All those folks who are written in the book of life, all those who labor with me, who are fellow strivers, who are co-laborers, what does it say? Yoke fellow, right? In what? In the gospel. It would make absolutely no sense for Paul to say, well, the book of life, God's already chosen everybody who's going to be in it, and you're blotted out or your name stays in, God's got that all worked out. Why would Paul then say, strive with me in the gospel? It's just the opposite. Paul's trying to remind us, help one another, because we need to labor in the gospel. Why? Because there are people that we know who we don't want their name blotted out of the book. Because the Bible just said those who aren't there will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Kind of makes you want to labor a little bit harder, doesn't it? God is not willing that any should perish. He has made an opportunity for every single person who walks this earth to join him in eternity in heaven, in that holy city. The problem is, our sins are in the way. Because God declared it right from the first, those who have sinned against me, their names are blotted out. So we got a sin problem that we need to deal with. And folks, that's the key to evangelism. We went to this thing the other night, Helen and myself and my wife, and talked about D.L. Moody. And one of the things that D.L. Moody was great at, he had 3 points for evangelism, and I'm just going to hit the first one. The first point when he was dealing with evangelism was making sure people understand that they are bound in sin. Every single one of us have sinned against God, and we've got a sin problem. And that sin problem needs to get fixed. If not, we're in danger of having our names blotted out for all eternity. But there's an awesome thing. Jesus Christ, who came on this earth, who knew no sin, who was slain as the Lamb to take our sins away so that we don't have to have our names blotted out of that book. So don't get it mixed up. Make sure you understand it. It is not, oh, I asked Jesus to be my Savior today. Your name's been written in a book. Well, maybe it's in the front of your Bible, but your name's already in the book of life. If you haven't received Jesus as Savior and those sins aren't forgiven, when he opens the books and the book of life, we're going to be judged on whether or not our name is there. If your name is there, you are welcomed into the city. You saw it with me, right? I wanted to make sure we were straight in the scripture. If your name's found in that book, you're going to heaven and you're going to spend eternity with God. If your name's been blotted out because your sins have not been forgiven, you're not. So guys, I wanted to make sure that as we pass this word by, when we read Paul saying, listen, work with me in the gospel, those of you whose names are written in the book of life, that we have a clue what that means. Now, number one, this Thursday's coming around and we're going to ask God's thanks for things that we are thankful for. Be thankful that our names are written in the book of life. Number two, Go out this week and remind people and keep in the back of your mind, there are so many folks we're going to bump into whose eternity is uncertain. Remind them that their sins can be forgiven. What I like about God, and this is the amazing thing, and we talked about it so many times, God, people think God's that person upstairs who wants to zap people with a lightning bolt. How many times has Dan said it over the last few weeks in Sunday school, that God always gives a chance for repentance. Always, always, always. God doesn't start us out in the negative. We already have an option. He is willing that none of us should go to hell. Every one of us, he wants to go to heaven. But it's our choice. All right, any questions about the Book of Life, come to me later, but I think the Word of God's pretty clear. Just rejoice in the fact that if you've met Jesus Christ as your Savior and he's forgiven you of your sins, you are guaranteed. Now I'll give you the theme of today's sermon was, joy comes from assurance. My name's written in the Book of Life. Is yours? Heavenly Father, I thank you. Father, I'm not going to try to pretend I understand everything that's coming with the judgments and how you're going to lay out life. I just know your word is true. And Father, you said from the foundation of the world that names are written in this book. Father, it's not written by our life we live, by the works we do. It's not even written in the book because we accept Jesus Christ as Savior. You have a book. You know every single person. And Lord, I didn't get into the truth or the doctrines and about abortion. Father, what an amazing thought to think every single person's life has been written in this book already. God, you choose whether or not a womb is open or closed, whether or not a child is conceived or not. Your word is full of it. That you close up women's wombs and you are, Lord, every single person that comes to life, you've already written their name down. Man, that's precious. From the womb, you know people. But Father, I'm also very thankful that you're not closed-minded. Lord, you don't offer only to a specific group. You're not willing that any should perish, but at every single all can come to repentance. And so Father, we are so thankful. And I don't know the hearts of everyone today. Truly, Lord, I know the decision I have made and I believe your word is true. And because my sins are forgiven and I've been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb, I know my name's written in the book of life. Maybe somebody today sitting here doesn't know that for sure. And they need to make that decision. Father, for those of us who we believe the word of God, you don't lie. Your truth is absolute. And we know our names are written there. But how many people do we know around us who are unsure? Lord, whose life is pushing them around, the devil's got their eyes closed, and they need to be woke up to the idea that there's a heavenly home waiting for them if they would just have their sins forgiven. So, Father, I just pray you put a burden in our heart. The Apostle Paul said, listen, help one another, especially those who are laboring in the gospel. Father, there's so many things in this world that'll keep us running around, keep us doing a lot of different things. But Lord, we may need to make sure we remember what's important, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out and share somebody with somebody your faith. Amen. Love you. If you have questions about this, if you have any ideas or things you want to ask me, or just come up afterwards and we'll talk about it. But understand what a blessing it is to know our names are written in that Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Love you. You're dismissed. Go tell somebody about Jesus.